Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPL D Unit and today you're here for a Game Week 30, Game Week 31 wild card special. Yes, you will see me click the wild card button in this video. Yes, I'm ranked 1,054 in the world. What am I doing wild carding in Game Week 31? I'm going to explain that for you later on. So make sure you tune in because this is the video you must see, that you need to see. I'm covering every asset that you probably want to own between now and the end of the season. And I can tell you why, because the card landed on that. That said, play the wild card. The card knows best, and I'm doing it again. And hopefully, it can take me from 1,054 inside the top 1K this week. But without further ado, if you can't, please do this. Please smash a like on the video. And if you have done so already, and lots of people have subscribed in recent times, the next aim is 2,000 subs, so I can't do that without you. So please feel free to smash the subscribe button as well. And with that being said, let's jump straight into it. So, the updated chip strategy, just wanted to talk about it because I did say that in game week 30 and 31 was when I was potentially going to wildcard, and I've made my mind up now. I am going to wildcard in game week 30. I just think that I'd already bought Munoz and Sarr for a minus four, and I just think that the other assets I want to buy, now that we know Mateta's going to be fit, Isak's looking good as well. Wood is definitely, probably likely to be injured as well. All combines with, let's just play it now. Why take minuses when I can get my team ready, set it up for double game week 32, potentially even 33 and 34, and we'll know the fixtures of the FA Cup. Well, who's going to be blanking potentially in 34? If they do blank, they might not even blank. They might just play it later in that week. Who knows? We won't know that for a little while. And that's why I think that just makes more sense to wildcard now. Play the fixtures that are in front of us, the ones that we can see, and then just worry about the rest later. And I think that for me, that's what I wanted to say. I'm sticking to my plan originally where I did say I was going to wildcard in 30 or 31. I am going to be wildcarding this video. So make sure you stick around for that. So, the fixture difficulty rating, and this is where it gets key that you've got to look at. So, game week 34, the fixtures that are in doubt are Arsenal versus Crystal Palace, Brighton versus West Ham, Nottingham Forest versus Brentford, Man United versus Bournemouth, and Man City versus Aston Villa. I don't think I've missed anyone then. But essentially, I wouldn't be worried too much about that. Now, Nottingham Forest have been given two Monday night games, so if they're going to double, they're probably not going to double if they get through. Crystal Palace, another interesting team. It's too hard to look that far in advance, and so much can change in FPL between now and when potentially that might even happen and become a problem, that I just think it's better to wildcard earlier. Last year, I saved my wildcard for later, and it didn't work, and I ended up finishing just outside the top 100,000. This year, I'm going early, and I've got a feeling that it's going to pay off, and hopefully I can convince you as to why I've done it. I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm not saying 30 is the best. I just think that 30 is the best. Even though my team on paper is still really good, I'm still going to press the button anyway. So, the game week 30 versus 31 wildcard debate. So I've just slabbed it here because essentially so many people saying, oh, I want to wait to see what the fixtures are, etc., etc. You will know what the fixtures are going to be that are missing or doubling potentially by game week 30. There is no need to be waiting for 31 if you're worried about the fixtures. I can tell you which fixtures are going to be in danger of blanking in 34 by the time the deadline stream comes around for game week 30. 100%. I actually tell you on Sunday night my next video I'm going to be uploading. So the pros and cons, I'm going to go over both and hopefully it makes sense. Let me know if you don't, if you've got any questions, please whack them in the comments as well. I am intrigued to know what other people think. So the pros to game week 30, you'll get an extra week with a squad you have built and you can maximize the points in game week 30. Like you've got 9 weeks left of the season. I'm hopefully now set my sights on the top 1,000. I'm so close to it. And I'm all about the fact that why have an unoptimized team for game week 30 when I could play my wild card a week early, bring in the likes of Mateta, Isak have got amazing fixtures this week and absolutely go hell for leather and really dominate, potentially get into the top 1,000, then just try and protect myself from there. Like that is the key here. Like I'm either sitting there, it's risk versus the reward definitely. Obviously, one of the other pros is we will obviously already know the outcome of the FA Cup matches and which teams could double. And as I said, which teams could blank. So again, you will have that information before the deadline comes around. And that's what a lot of people have been waffling on about in terms of waiting until 31. Well, we'll get into the the cons in a second, but they're very similar for 30 and 31, believe it or not. So the other good news is if you wildcard in game week 30, you can fix up injuries from international matches and players who have now got bad fixtures. No, so my Brentford boys have served me really well, but the next four or five fixtures, as we saw in the fixture difficulty rating, aren't good for them at all. So I really just want to move them. And if I don't play wildcard this week, I'm playing with both of them and it just doesn't feel right. The cons are, most likely, we will not know the exact fixtures prior to the deadline for potential double game week 33, potential blank game week 34, and potential double game week 35, 36. I'm also betting on Haaland returning versus Leicester significantly because I will be captaining this week in, with on this wildcard squad, 100%. I'll just be straight up captaining him. And if it works, I'm going to look like an absolute genius. If he absolutely gets nothing, which is hard to believe because it is Leicester, but it is one of those things. Obviously, and the last con here, team will need changing significantly around game week 34 and 35. That's a given. Like, I will need to make changes, but that's the reason why I want a wild card now. I've been using transfers every week pretty much the entire season, and I will continue to do so. That is how I've got to the rank I'm at. I'm not going to be changing that for the run-in. I'm still going to be taking those same risks that's got me to this point now. Game week 31, what are the pros there? Well, you get an extra few days. Yeah, there's not many days in extra to look at different assets, and you'll be armed with some more information regarding injuries and form. Like, someone could get injured in game week 30 that potentially you wanted on wildcard, and then you don't need to get them because they will be injured. The Premier League might announce the fixtures for double game week 33, blank game week 34, and double game week 35 or 36. They might. There's no guarantee that it will. Everyone's been making out all this big hoo-ha about the fact the Premier League announces on a Friday. I bet you guaranteed they do it on the Monday after the deadline. It'd be absolutely hilarious if they did. Man City and other teams with great fixtures in game week 30 may be able to just be ignored. So if you've already made the Haaland play, you've already got him in your team, maybe you don't have to worry about it and you just carry on. The cons, there is every chance that the Premier League won't confirm fixtures for double game week 33, 34, 35, 36. You'll not have an optimised team, quite likely. In fact, I'd say almost 100% likely for game week 30. So you'll be missing out on points on the people that are wildcarding this week. And if you're waiting until game week 31, maybe you should just wildcard in 34. Like, is that a better option? Because in reality, maybe it is. So now we're on to the crux of all the assets you need to be considering. So the Aston Villa assets. Now, they are almost 100% likely. They're not 100% likely, but they're 90% likely to double in 33, most likely, because they're still in Europe as well with the Champions League. So that means they'll play Newcastle and Man City in game week 33. Now, I'm not very hot on Aston Villa assets, and the only way that I'll probably likely bring any of them in is if Crystal Palace get knocked out and I move all my Crystal Palace assets out of my team. I may then look at Aston Villa assets. Now, I would love to look at Asensio, and I'd love to see him starting. And for me, he's probably the pick of these five assets. Dean and D'Arcy, I've got really no interest in Villa defenders, but if you're after cheaper defenders, they're not the worst shouts in the world. But for me, I wouldn't be going there. Rodgers is now 5.5 million, so he could be a good alternative. He does start every week and that, but again, his underlying data is nowhere near as good as other midfielders on this list that I put together. And Watkins is a really good shout. But again, when you've got Mateta, when you've got Isak, when you've got Haaland, when you've got even a Wood, it's hard to recommend a Watkins, even if he is on a double. And again, Aston Villa are in Europe, and they've been poor outside of Europe when they've been playing in the Champions League, in the league. So that is also concerning, and we don't know who's going to be starting. So for that reason, I'm not overly fond of any of their assets, and at the moment, none of them are in my wildcard squad as things stand. So the Arsenal assets. I can also tell you that I'm not a fan of the Arsenal assets either. Why? Because they all cost an absolute boatload of money, and I think there's other assets that do exactly the same job as these guys do, and why would I waste money when I can get some? So I actually put a really interesting thing on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it, about Gabriel versus Milinkovic, and 50 or so people voted, and people think that Gabriel is going to be a better asset through the end of the season than Milinkovic. Now, yes, they have really good fixtures around 32 and 33, and potentially they could double with Ipswich and Crystal Palace. But that is slap bang in the middle of when they play Real Madrid. And I can see squad rotation, and I can tell you that Arsenal are probably highly likely to finish in the top four, let alone the top five, and their focus will purely be on that Champions League. I would not be sitting there. The only time I'm interested in owning any Arsenal players this season, most likely, is probably on free hit 38 when they've got Southampton away, and looking at playing Saka as my captain in that last game week, which could be a lot of fun, provided he's obviously fit. Now, obviously the flag here is, I don't like any of their forward assets outside of Saka, and Saka is still not back fit. Well, he might be fit. We don't know if he's going to make the squad yet in game week 30, but look, his stats are amazing. I would potentially like him back in, but again, I just don't think their run of fixtures is actually overly that good. Like Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, Liverpool, Newcastle, around that 35, 36, 37 range, I just think that there's way better assets out there. And it's the same for the goalkeeper, Gabriel, Saliba, and Timber. Of them, I'd be more interested in Timber at 5.6 and Raya at 5.5. There's no way I'm spending up over $6 million on any defender. I haven't owned Gabriel all season long, and I feel like I've actually dodged a bullet and saved quite a lot of money, which is why my squad value has gone so high this year. So, one team that is very interesting, though, and I will definitely most likely own at least two of these players, is from Nottingham Forest. Now, as I said before, Nottingham Forest, I would argue, have just as good a fixture run as Arsenal do between now and the end of the season. And Milinkovic, as if you've been paying attention to the graphics, Milinkovic has a better goal threat than Gabriel. Gabriel's 0.1. He's got an assist threat at 0.05. Milinkovic has got an expected goal threat of 0.13 and an expected assist of 0.02. Like, they equal the same. You pay 1.5 million less for Milinkovic, and I would argue that there's more chance of Nottingham Forest keeping clean sheets in those green fixtures than there are of Arsenal keeping a clean sheet in their green fixtures. They've just been a little bit sloppy, and the fact that their green fixtures fall in the Champions League and Nottingham Forest are not interested in that, they're actually going to try and get into the Champions League for their league placing, makes you think that they're a better option, particularly defensively, and I will be looking potentially to go a Williams and a Milinkovic in my squad. Wood, unfortunately, is going to miss out. Now, he's gone 4 games in a row without returning, and I think it's highly likely that we now look at ditching Chris Wood, especially now that he's injured. He is highly likely to drop in price before the deadline as well, and a lot of people like me are going to be moving him out for players like Mateta, like Isak, etc., etc. In terms of Hudson-Odoi versus Elanga, I just don't think Hudson-Odoi is as good as Elanga. And as you can see there, you're paying $1.3 million less for Elanga compared to Gibbs-White, and he actually has better underlying attacking data than Gibbs-White. So, I don't know. There's some things there that I just thought really interesting. If you're after a cheap enabler, and Elanga is amazing, and potentially there might become a time in the season where I have a triple Forest squad that does not include Chris Wood as one of my triple up. It might well be Elanga, Williams, and Milinkovic. Milinkovic is probably staying with me until free hit 38, and then he'll be leaving, because I just don't think that Chelsea fixture is overly fabulous for Nottingham Forest. The Bournemouth assets are just as crucial. All right, now, I already own Justin Kluivert, and he is 100% staying, most likely. It's still a little bit of debate about him, because I'm not 100% sold on him, but he definitely is probably staying. He's got the best attacking data of the lot. He is on penalties as well, 0.45 expected goals, 0.15 expected assists. Semenyo is better than Dango, but Semenyo is on 9 yellow cards, so he's 1 yellow card away between now and 32, and he'll miss 2 games. So I wouldn't be recommending Semenyo. I've just put him there because he is still, for what he is and what he costs, quite a decent asset. If Valentin's dirt cheap, I just think that when you're looking at Wood, Mateta, Isak, Haaland, etc., Valentin does fall down. But if you're chasing budget and you need to save money and you're quite happy with the output of Valentin, who has actually been super good this season, he's brilliant. I've obviously had Kirke since he was 4.4 million, so he'll be 100% staying in my squad on wildcard. 5.2 he's gone up to. Again, the attacking data's not really there. He's just been brilliant. Like, he's just a brilliant defender, brilliant left back. Hoyt's in there if you want a cheap alternative. And then Kepa in goal, if you really want him. As you can see there, expected goals conceded 1.31 per 90 is not fabulous. But Bournemouth's got one of them weird fixture runs as well. So up until Man United at home, I would argue it's a pretty good fixture run. And then the next from like 35, 36, 37, horrible. But then they have an amazing fixture again in 38. So my plan is actually to get rid of my Bournemouth assets probably around game week 35. So you can see where I'm going with my wildcard squad. I'm setting up well now, and then I'll be just transferring out the assets that just come up with bad fixtures later on. Onto the West Ham assets. Now, I'm massive on West Ham. Now, people tell me that the two of the next three are not very good, but I would argue that two of the next four are absolutely amazing for West Ham. Like, absolutely amazing. And if you're after a dirt cheap enabler, all these people that went for Wanyeri, absolute gooses, don't know who they were following when they did that. But Souček is probably the one. 4.9 million. He's definitely playing under Graham Potter, and he just has such goal for it. 0.21 expected goals per 90. The dude is just, he always finds his way into like set pieces and stuff like that. He just gets his head on it. It's not the West Ham defense that generally score from him. It's Souček in the box. Brilliant. Areola's probably 100% staying in my squad on wildcard as well. You do need a cheaper goalkeeper, and at 4.2 million, I don't want to be wasting any more transfers on goalkeepers this season. He'll be playing, and then he'll just be falling out for Nick Pope, who is probably going to be my other goalkeeper. There you go. I've just said it straight off the bat. In terms of the other ones, Wan-Bissaka I am considering. At the moment, he's not in my squad, but he's definitely someone I'm highly interested in. For what he offers at 4.5 million, he's dirt cheap as well. Kilman, again, if you wanted to save an extra 0.2, you could go there if you just wanted your fifth defender to be like sub 4.5. Jarrod Bowen is the one that for me is highly likely to make my final squad because of the fact they've got Wolves away, Southampton at home, and Ipswich away. I mean, I might get rid of him after the Southampton at home game, back for Brian and Buemo for the little Brentford run, and then getting back on free hit in 38. But I'm highly likely to have Jarrod Bowen, I think, on wildcard. He's just so consistent. He's playing up top. That's exactly what you want. He's going to be amongst the goals. And if he scores, he's pretty much in the bonus points as well. So I love him as an asset. And I think he's going to be brilliant for anyone that does bother to invest in him. So arguably the team that is going to cause the most problems for everyone, and that is Manchester City and Pep Roulette. If Pep was a normal human being and we knew exactly what he was going to do with his squad, this would be such an easier decision. I would have Phil Foden in my team 100%. But Pep Roulette, two of the last 3 weeks, Phil Foden has started on the bench. Marmoush, for anyone that is interested in him, again, he has also been victim of Pep Roulette the last 3 weeks. And also, really interestingly, the attacking data for Phil Foden and Gvaraol in particular, who a lot of people are hot on, and he might still be under an injury cloud, we really don't know, but I'm expecting him to be fine, has significantly dropped off since Marmoush has been in the squad. Like, that is problematic. And I don't, for that reason alone, I think it almost kind of scares me off Phil Foden and Gvaraol. Like, and Phil Foden was definitely my call of the season. That 5 week stretch when I bought him in for the injured Saka, and then when I sold him ahead of his first blank, he made me so many points. He made me more points than any other player over those 5 weeks, and I would love to have him back. I just don't have any faith in Man City outside Erling Haaland. You can almost guarantee that he is going to be starting and playing 90 minutes, pretty much 90 minutes, every single week, and he's on penalties. Savinho is another option that could be half decent. 6.2 million is another easy way into that midfield. It's just Pep Roulette. I can't determine which way Pep Roulette is going to go. And if you can't work out which way Pep Roulette's going to go, you can't really be investing. You don't want to be coming to this point in the season where you're worried about who's going to be starting. And it's just harder as well because there's no Champions League. It's just literally week-to-week football outside of the FA Cup. And we don't have that game against Bournemouth is literally a 50-50. I don't know if it's better if Man City win or if they lose. I really don't know. Ideally, I think I'd probably prefer City to win, so that way Bournemouth and Man United don't double. Because I only really want one Man United player, and we'll get to that in a little bit. And that's my mate, old Bruno. But yeah, I just think that if you're looking at the Man City assets, yes, the data, the underlying data, it looks really good on paper, but it's just not worth it. And then when you're trying to work out whether you want Marmoush or Haaland, again, it comes back down to Pep Roulette. And how much do you want the guaranteed penalty taker, the guaranteed bloke that generally starts and plays 90 minutes, or do you want a dice with Pep Roulette and Marmoush starts on your bench, let's say, 3 of the next 9 games and starts 6? Quite realistic that could potentially happen. How annoyed will you be when you could have had another forward that's going to be playing 90 minutes and pretty much guaranteed? Yes, you're playing up for Haaland, and yes, I would argue that he's definitely not worth 14.8 million. But if you've got a bit of squad value like me, it makes sense to go with the guaranteed option as far as I'm concerned. And that is probably the only asset from Manchester City I'm currently interested in. So, on to the two most important teams now, and Crystal Palace are the first one we're going to cover. Now, at the moment, I have Ismaili Assar and Munoz in my squad. I got Munoz before the price rise, so I got him at $5 million. And Ismaili Assar, probably by the time you're watching this, he will be going up tonight, almost 100% guaranteed. He should have gone up last night. I don't know why he didn't, but he's definitely going to be on to 5.7. Again, when you look at the attacking data from Assar to Eze, you can see why a lot of people are picking Assar over Eze. I mean, Assar's 0.37 expected goals compared to Eze's 0.28. His expected assist of 0.23 to Eze's 0.15, and he's been in form the last couple of game weeks. I just think it's an easy decision. And also, it is the one kind of budget enabler in my team that I'm realistically going to be going for. And it just means that I can keep Haaland and all these other assets that I really want on wildcard. Mateta, I think he's a no-brainer. I really do want to see how he goes with the mask on against Fulham. But if he looks half decent, he's 100% in the squad, no questions asked, and he'll be my third Crystal Palace player. Obviously, no assistant manager chip for me to play because I've already played that, so I don't have to worry about that. But then, if you're just after a cheaper option, the Crox is actually a really good option. I've put him in here over Gahey. Gahey at 4.7 is 0.2 million more, but the attacking data is pretty much identical. And Henderson, if you really wanted to go to defensively, I just don't think those fixtures on paper defensively look overly fabulous, which is why I prefer just going for a double Palace attack and then Munoz in defense. It just makes a lot more sense. He's the most attacking, pretty much, defender in the game now that Trent's out injured at the moment and potentially on his way to Real Madrid. So the other team to talk about is Newcastle United, and their fixture run is beautiful up until game week 35 again. So 35, 36, 37, probably look to sell my Newcastle assets. You can see there, the three teams I'm really going to be heavily invested in, I do want to move their assets out and then just free hit them back in on game week 38. That is why my free hit strategy 38 and then wildcard now just makes a lot more sense. And I'll probably take a minus four or on a couple of weeks in between now and the end of the season as well, just to attack the fixtures, man. I want to see how high up I can get. I don't want to die wondering. So I put Trippier in here along with Dan Burn. For me, Dan Burn is the one I like more than Trippier. I just think that Trippier for an extra 1.2 million, what are you really getting? And we don't know how good he's going to be. We don't know how many injuries he's going to pick up. And trust me, Trippier is well over the age of 30, and there's every chance that he could get injured and then be out. Dan Burn, I think, is a lock. He's fresh off playing for England. He's fresh off that goal in the Carabao Cup. I just really like him as an asset. Gordon versus Murphy. I think if you just want to save money, you just go with Murphy. 5 million, dirt cheap. The data combined is not far off what Gordon is. Yes, I would love to have Gordon instead of Murphy. And we just need to hear a bit more about Murphy's injury that he picked up with England. But if it's not bad, he could definitely be someone you could just bench this week, have on wildcard, and then bring him in after his suspension, which would be in time for game week 31. Isak has just got to be had. He's going to rise over the next 2 days. He's up back up to 80% towards the next price rise, so back up to 9.4. Yes, I've lost a little bit of value on him because I sold him when my value was, I sold him at 8.9 when he was still at 9.4. So I'm going to have to spend a 0.4 million up to bring Isak back into my team, but I'm more than happy with that. And Pope, expected goals conceded 1.38. Back in the squad, back in the lineup, I just think that with that fixture, you can see there, for a bench boost 33, it's Aston Villa away, not ideal, but Man United at home, Crystal Palace at home in 32, and 30 and 31, and then 34, all look amazing for Newcastle, and he'll be the starting goalkeeper for me in every one of those weeks. And I just think that it's a bit of a no-brainer not to have it. Like, no one's really talking about Pope and, like, talking about Sells and Raya and stuff like this. Yes, I could get Raya instead of Pope. I just think that Pope's amazing, and my midfield slots at the moment, I don't know where I put the third Newcastle player. I do not want two Newcastle defenders in there. It's either a goalkeeper, a defender, and Isak, or it's a midfielder, but I just can't find a midfielder slot in my team for a Newcastle asset at the moment. So the other assets that you should be looking at for Wildcard 30, and Mo Salah's got to be up there. I mean, he's the only Liverpool player I'm actually interested in. The dude will definitely want to be breaking records through to the end of the season. So for me, he is a definite must. Bruno Fernandes, 8.6 million. Yes, he's gone up 0.3 in the last couple of weeks. The dude is on fire. He's carrying Man United. And Ruben Amorim has shown that Bruno Fernandes plays 90 minutes every single week. And for that reason alone, and the fact that he's in form, he definitely has to, and I'm probably going to keep him. I was originally going to sell him on wildcard. I think now I'm going to keep him. The form that he's been in, I just think that Man United are going to cause a few upsets between now and the end of the season. Cole Palmer is another one. Could be interesting. We don't know his injury status at the moment. He's got nothing wrong with his back, apparently, come from scans. He's been doing some work in Dubai. He's a wait and see. I'm not sure about him at all. Brandon Bueno, again, he is currently still in my team. I haven't moved him out yet, but he's highly likely to make way for Jared Bowen. Now, they are pretty comparable, the fixtures over the and the potential returns. I just think the Jared Bowen, I think, has better fixtures on paper, and for that reason, I'm going to back him in over Brandon Bueno. Matoma, again, with João Pedro, really good Brighton assets. I just don't really write Brighton. They share it around too much. There's no one that pops off like consistently week to week. It's the same with Fulham, Robinson and Raul. They've got actually a really hard fixture run between now and pretty much the rest of the season. They've only got a good couple of weeks, and they've got Southampton, I think, some other team, I can't remember. And other than that, they don't look overly fabulous. Ain't Nori Strand Larsen do look amazing for the next couple of weeks, but longer term, I think there's better options. For that reason, that's why they make the other assets. Jackson is back in training, highly likely to start making the lineup again. And again, if he's back, Chelsea, I think, will definitely have an upturn in form, you would think, and Jackson will probably be a large part behind that. So he becomes advertising at 7.7, particularly for Mateta after that run of fixtures for Palace. And then Wissa, again, Brentford's next three or four, not that flash, but then he has a nice little run of fixtures for 2 to 3 weeks where Wissa could be really good as well. And another asset that's been performing quite consistently this season. So onto my current squad, what it looks like ahead of me pressing the wild card. In fact, I've already, as I said, I already made the Munoz and Ismaili Assar transfers for Palmer and Creswell because I didn't want to have Palmer when he dropped and cost me 0.1, and I wanted to get Assar and Munoz before they rose in price. So at the moment, as you can see there, I could easily have rolled this team for game week 30, right? Like, it's still a pretty good team on paper. Yes, I've got three flags. I'm expecting most of those flags to be fine. Creswell obviously is a concern, but I literally got him in so I could get Haaland the week before and took a -4 in order to do that. But in reality, there's players that I don't want in my team. They are Fabianski. They are probably Ait Nouri, Robinson, and Creswell. Most likely in Bueno. Bruno Fernandes is definitely in the conversation. Palmer's definitely in the conversation as well. But at the moment, Palmer's gone and Bruno's staying. Wood and Wissa as well, probably likely to leave. Now, in order to get the squad value in terms of the other one, as you can see there, I've got 108.1 million, but I've got a lot of money tied up in players like Wood. Like, Wood's selling price is 6.9. He's at 7.3 at the moment. And that's the key thing. A lot of people can get stung, which is why I haven't actually pressed the button yet, because I haven't wanted. I was hoping that Wissa potentially might rise to 6.6, and then his selling price would have been 6.4. Doesn't look like he's going to get there, and I think a lot of people are probably going to sell him on wildcard, a bit like me, for other assets like Mateta and Isak. But that's the crux of what I'm going with. Yes, there might be a couple of changes from other players that I've covered in this video, but that is highly likely where I'm going to fall. I think it does obviously depend on the fixtures and who wins in the FA Cup. I mean, a Fulham win in the FA Cup, I've got no interest in really having. I might keep Robinson and not bring in Williams because I've got the money in the bank to do it. But other than that, I probably won't go of any other Fulham players. None of them really interest me at all. It's a bit like Brighton. If Brighton win, I'm actually more interested in the West Ham assets than Brighton. Brighton's shared around too much. West Ham, a lot more confident in Jared Bowen actually delivering more often than not whenever they score. It's a bit like Bruno. Whenever Man United score, you expect them to score. And that's why I think Bruno probably stays for me in this draft as well. So with that being said, let's get on to pressing that wildcard button. Let's do it. Everyone's been waiting for it, and I promised I would be doing it. So here we are, 86 points, game week 29. Was a pretty good week. As you can see there, overall points 2,080, overall rank 1,054. Yes, rude to forget United is up and about. Now, I'll just quickly show you here my team value as it stands, 108 million, but obviously Munoz has risen in price since I bought him, and Clivett's just risen in price as well, so I think I've actually gone up even more. I don't think I've suffered any price drops, but obviously I did sell Cole Palmer. I lost 0.1 million in value when I sold him. So let's go to it, eh? Let's press the button for everyone that is watching. Wildcard, am I making it active? Yes, I'm making it active for game week 30. I am playing the chip. You have already made a transfer this game week, so you'll not be able to cancel this chip once played. I am aware. Confirm it. Wildcard is active for FPL D unit. Get excited. As I said, these goalkeepers here will definitely be changing it. In fact, I can actually probably change that now at the moment because it's not going to make any difference at all. I can actually make a transfer there as well live on video. That's pretty cool because Fabianski will definitely not be staying. So, yeah, that's that one there. The rest, I'm still unsure about what I'm going to do. I'm just assessing the options. At the moment, that's how things stand. But as I said, Wood will be leaving. Whistle will be leaving. Bruno could leave. Mbeumo most likely will leave. Robinson, Aitnori, they're probably leaving as well. So I'm not going to be making huge amounts of tweaks and transfers, but I just want to set up my team and not have to cop any minuses for it. And I think that I can set it up really well with the fixtures that are going to be coming. So we'll bring Pope in. There's one for now. There we go. The wild card is active. And obviously, yeah, it's going to be looking pretty good. That's exciting. I'm very excited for that. And yeah, from that, how exciting is it? It's so exciting playing a wild card. My God, it's like one of my favorite things of the year. So that brings us to the end. Hopefully you've enjoyed my in-depth review into the assets you probably want to own on Wildcard in game week 30 and 31. I think it really honestly doesn't change that much between 30 and 31, which is why I'm so shocked that not more people are going to be looking at wildcarding. So for me, that's what I'm looking at. I'm expecting it to go well. I will be back tomorrow at UK time, 7:15 in the morning. Me and Alan will be on here discussing wild cards. He's going to come with his own draft. I'm going to come with mine. He's actually not wild carding this week. He's going to be wild carding in 34. He's going to see his team through to there because he wants to play the assistant manager 31 to 33, which is great, and doesn't want a wild card this week, which is perfectly fine. And then from then, on Sunday night, we'll have transfer tips, and then Monday we'll have team selection. But yeah, I'll be live tomorrow with Alan, 7:15 UK time. That is 3:15 in the afternoon Australian time. And obviously, if you're anywhere else, work it out accordingly. Thanks for watching. If you made it all the way through to the end, please drop a like on the video and smash that subscribe button as well and help me grow the channel. And I'll see you on the other side. That's been the D Unit.